Hey guys, welcome to Digital Soup, a hilariously geeky podcast bringing you the best geeky conversations each and every week. Jason, let's get to it.
All right, welcome back to Digital Soup, the only podcast where two-thirds of the hosts have successfully made out with the Demogorgon.
Yeah.
Not it.
Mm-hmm. Jason and Dave.
I was thinking you two. I thought you told me she was a little toothy.
She was upside down. I couldn't tell.
Yeah. Speaking of that, thanks for bringing that up there, Dave.
okay.
Just today, I did finish the second season. I'm all set for the third.
Yeah. Nice. When does the third one come out?
It's soon, I believe. I don't know the exact date.
I want to say it's either April or it's July. I can't remember.
Okay. It's February, genius.
Is it?
No, I mean, just right now, it's February.
You.
Hey, for our listeners that have no idea what we're talking about Stranger Things. But we're sure, if you listen to the show, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Everybody likes the Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, everybody, this guy speaking right now is Jason. And joining me in the virtual studio today is Adam and usually Dave. Hey, what's up, geeks?
Hey, how's it going?
Not much, nerds.
Yeah.
Instead of calling you guys gentlemen, I'm just going to call you geeks from now on. How's that sound?
I'm cool.
Whatever.
Cool with that.
Oh, you're a cool geek? That's like an oxymoron, isn't it?
Well, I'm a moron, probably, yes.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
Great. I can't wait for that sound clip to get thrown in my face at some point.
I'm a moron.
Yeah, it'll be a song. I'm a moron. Yes.
Yeah.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, I'm a moron.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I love that part. But anyways, how do I sound, guys? Do I sound like I'm tape quality or do I sound maybe DVD right now?
Well, yeah.
CD quality.
Only CD?
I'll give you 8-track.
Yeah. Not too shabby. Mixtape.
So we're recording this a day later than we originally planned on doing it because I had some problems with my system. And I'm still having some issues, but unfortunately, I decided last week that I was going to go ahead and do a clean wipe of my SSD and install the latest version of Windows 10, which is 18.09. And I don't know where I was at prior to that, but I was earlier. And as soon as, you know, I got everything set up, I noticed two things. For one, they had removed Home Group from the version I was using earlier, so I had a heck of a time connecting to my Plex server. And then number two, we went to go record last night, and these two guys are like, man, you sound like crap. What the heck's going on with your quality? And when it went in there and we took a look at the microphone settings, it had it set to one channel, tape quality. I think it was something like 8 hertz. Can you go down to 8 hertz? I don't even know.
It's a low frequency.
Yeah. Yes.
And nothing I could do could change that. Every time I went to change it with the drop-down menu, change it to something better, it would tell me that it was in use and it wouldn't work. We went into safe mode. We did everything and nothing would work. Mm-hmm. So then today I just said, screw it. And before we're recording here, I installed Windows 7. Hey, everything worked, but now I'm having problems with my mixer. So we just spent the last hour trying to fix that. Thanks, Adam. And we were successful in making me sound halfway decent, but I have no monitoring in my headphones. So I can't hear my own gorgeous voice, and that's usually what drives me forward throughout the whole episode.
Narcissist.
Now I just got to deal with these two guys' voices.
Hey, what version of the Windows update did you say you did that messed everything up?
18.09. When I downloaded the latest version, that is what it is, and it broke everything for me. I hated it. I mean, I liked it. I mean, everything was working good except for, networking and sound. Mm-hmm. But everything else was great.
Other than that.
Yeah.
And who needs networking or sound in, 2019?
not this guy. What version am I on? I'm still on 18.03.
That's what I was going to say. Mine is saying it wants me to, the update is there. I just need to restart to finish it. 18.03.
You're at 18. So you both are at 18.03. Don't update.
No, it's wanting me to, the update that's there is update 1803.
Oh, wow. So you're even farther back.
So I don't know. I should be set where it auto. I thought with Windows 10 it auto updates.
It should. But mine didn't. You know, I was still at an earlier version, and it wasn't until I downloaded the latest
ISO. Oh, you did it on purpose? ISO.
Yes. I formatted and reinstalled, and I downloaded the latest version off of Microsoft's site.
I want to say one more time. You know, there is a lot of fixes and features in the cumulative update, but still.
I'd be a little leery of it because of the troubles I had. Let's wait till 1810. Well,
nobody knows
the trouble you've seen. She's a base. Name of the movie.
Oh.
Forrest Gump?
No.
Oh, I wasn't even close, huh?
Nope. Spaceballs.
Oh, geez. I think you were talking about Big Tuna from The Office.
No, I wasn't.
But speaking of The Office, LibreOffice has just updated to 6.2.0. Who's excited?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, other people are.
Yeah. Guess what the greatest new feature of other people, not Adam. See, Adam is a Microsoft snob. He's like, if it's not from Big Red, are they called Big Red? I don't even know.
No. Big Red. If it's not a cinnamon flavored gum, then I don't want it.
Hey, Big Blue is IBM. I just thought Big Red would be
Big
Microsoft.
Big Red.
No. Well, anyway, the big feature that came into the latest LibreOffice was a feature that was added in 2003 to Microsoft Office, and it's the ribbon interface at the top. Yay! Ah. Who's excited for the ribbon interface?
I still don't know what that is.
Okay, Google an image of Office 97, or I don't even know which one was before 2003, actually. Because they jump a whole bunch of years, and then Office 2003, and you'll see that it's a different interface at the top. It's like a tabbed interface where like it has a whole bunch of different options on the tab. You don't have to like click a button and do a drop down menu. They're all visible.
Okay,
and that was called the ribbon.
It's the ribbon.
I know, but that's exciting. It's added into LibreOffice, and for those of you who don't know what LibreOffice is. It is a great free office suite. It's 100% compatible with Microsoft Office, mm-hmm. and you can even have it. It wants to, whenever you save something, it wants to save it in its own LibreOffice format, but you can go into the menu and say always save in Microsoft Office format, which is nice because then you don't, you know, you can then email these files over to somebody with Microsoft Office and it'll work. But it's a free suite. There's no reason why.
Yeah.
Anybody shouldn't be using it. If you can't afford $200-$300 for Office or $365, which is, what is that? That's about $120 a year, something like that. I think it's about $10 a month.
For the personal edition, it's like $85 a year, I think.
Okay. But still, I mean, still what's cheaper, $85 or free?
Hold on. Let me get my calculator. Two.
Two.
No. It's a wonderful alternative. That and OpenOffice, of course, I've been a fan of for a long time. But LibreOffice, now that it has the ribbon, it's a little more conducive if you use the full version of Office in your work life. And then if you want to have this at home, you know, hey,
it's
wonderful.
It's not as jarring. You're not like transported back to the 90s. Like you were prior.
You guys want to listen to Spice Girls?
You know, I really want.
I want a ribbon. I just want to make a note here. Windows 1809. This was the version. This was the patch that came out that was killing people's files that we talked about.
Yeah.
So just saying, Jason, FYI.
I'm sorry. When I decided to do a clean format, I go to Microsoft site, download the latest version. You'd think it would be, you know, a good version.
Yeah, well, they fixed those problems. But there's also reports that it broke audio. So.
Oh, really?
Yep. I thought you would have think they would have fixed that, too. But you never know. You never know. Tape quality it is.
Yes, but I love tape quality.
LibreOffice, wonderful alternative to the Microsoft suite. Fantastic. And again, free. You know, the reason I'm sticking with the full Microsoft edition, sometimes there's features, especially with Microsoft Access, which, no, I'm not using that really, but I've got some clients that need work done in it, you need to have the full real access to do it.
And I'm running these side by side because I actually have Office 365 also through my school. So I get to see what both of them are like. And I did notice that one of the documents that I did load up into LibreOffice to test, it was kind of broken in areas. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, they say it's 100% compatible. It's listed right there in their descriptions, 100% signed compatible. Yeah. But it doesn't render every document or every file 100% accurately.
Right. Well, and the same thing kind of happened with OpenOffice too, which is another, you know, free alternative to Microsoft Office. But that's mostly your styling and some of your layout stuff that can change the way it handles margins and fonts and things.
Yeah.
Now, if you're using this to create your documents and edit them, they're always going to be consistent.
Yeah. You know? If you don't have to jump back and forth, like say you're just a stay-at-home mom, soccer mom, and you want to put your recipes into...
Or dad
into LibreOffice's writer.
Or you're by yourself and you're lonely.
Yep, and you're constructing them just on that for you. They're going to look great.
Mm-hmm.
If you're by yourself and lonely, how was Valentine's Day yesterday?
Yesterday?
Ouch. I'm such a killer tonight.
Oh, okay.
I'm a jerk.
Yeah.
I said yesterday because we release on Friday.
I understood that after I thought of it for a second.
I was helping myself. Yeah.
Sorry.
When no one was
looking, you can cut that out.
I was thinking of myself. And yet, did I mention I was all over myself?
Whoa.
I had to call up the cops.
This is a family show.
And tell them I was touched. They asked who did it. I said it was me.
Anyway, so the title of this show note is funny to me. It's The Ban Stick Whacks Ad Blocking Spotify Users. You're getting hit with a ban stick. So do you hate ads?
I do.
Well, don't block them if you use Spotify, or you might find yourself with no access to your account. With an update to Spotify's end user agreement, if you try to block ads, Spotify will terminate your account.
Oh, with extreme prejudice?
Extreme. Good thing the network couldn't monitor us changing channels during commercials in the 80s, am I right?
Hey, I got a question. Yeah. Before you ask that, Dave, what is the difference between prejudice and extreme prejudice?
Extreme.
I mean, are you drinking Mountain Dew and being prejudiced? Is that what we're talking about?
Do you consider Mountain Dew to truly be extreme?
Did you not see the commercials in the 90s, dude?
I did, Now we're almost into 2020. That's 2019.
If you slam a Surge before...
Surge, that was the worst pop ever, man. Oh, I hated that.
Okay, a Jolt. Jolt Cola.
Yeah, all the... What did it was
twice the caffeine.
All the sugar and twice the caffeine. I think that was the tagline. Yeah,
whoa, we're selling you now.
Yeah, we're filling it full of sugar and caffeine. Give it to your kids right before bed.
Hey, the first supreme energy drink.
This is true.
Yeah, a little bit. But anyway, stick whacking, guys. What do you guys think about this? Do you think it should be right that Spotify completely terminates your account just because you want to not see ads?
Is that also they're not going to give you ads if you pay, right?
Well, yeah, this is for the free people who can't afford it.
You know, there's some websites that you go to that, you know, if you have your ad blocker like most of us do, which, by the way, get an ad blocker, folks. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Sometimes they won't show you the content if you have an ad blocker enabled. And the reason for that is that they've got to make their revenue, and they get that through the ads that are placed, and that includes with Spotify too.
Right.
So as much as annoying as the ads are, you're kind of able to skirt the system. And so, I mean, it's their service. They're kind of within their rights to put that in there. But at the same time, it's kind of
How much revenue do they actually make from ads? I mean, are people literally clicking and buying? Are they listening to something and an ad pops up? Ooh, underwear with Sigourney Weaver's face on them. Click, buy.
Well, that's a great question, Tommy. It depends on what size.
No, not depends. Underwear.
Yeah, it depends.
Now,
I don't know.
I do want to point this out, though, because it was awesome, and I don't know if you did it on purpose or not, but when you at the very beginning, you go, do you hate ads? I mean, you sound like a freaking ad. Was that all on purpose?
Tired of flicking through ads and blocking them manually like a little...
little perch.
Yeah. Yep. You want to be a big fish in a larger lake by blocking ads completely and getting your account banned. I have no idea how much money they make off of it, but I guess if they're starting to see and it must be a problem enough for them that they put this in there. That
I guess.
But at the same time, it's like
maybe we should start putting out some ads on Digital Soup.
The day I realized my husband John had given up on our dreams of traveling together, it broke my heart. My sensitive bladder meant I started to make up excuses not to go away. That was the moment I said, enough is enough. I decided to try Depend. They fit just like my real underwear. They move with me and they just make me feel good. Now I feel I can get back out there doing what we love most.
Oh my gosh.
So the question I have about this though is, is this only pertaining to when people are listening in the browser?
Oh, it has to be. They can't be on your phone.
Well, because most people are listening, I think, on the phone, or they're listening in because
it's audio ads on the phone.
Yeah, but an ad blocker is not going to block that.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
But yeah, I mean, what I'm saying though is even on the if you're listening on a computer or like a Roku, which they finally just got their Spotify app up on Roku again, finally after ages, which separate story, but it works beautifully. But
you've tried it, huh?
Yeah. It's so slick because to connect it all up, you just launch Spotify on your phone and then go add the app on the Roku and then launch it on your phone and hit, you know, available devices. Boom, it signs you into your account. Everything just done right for you and you can control it all right there. But my point is that even on a desktop, they have a regular player. Like you can download it, like an app or say essentially, you don't have to listen in the browser. So I'm not sure.
Okay. Let's get some clarity here.
Yes.
Because their terms of service specifically talks about circumventing or blocking advertisements by creating or distributing tools designed to block them in Spotify's service. And if you go further down in the article, it talks about how last March they reported about 2 million users were dodging ads with modified applications and accounts. So people have created an ad which will automatically block that but still allow Spotify through, almost like a pass-through, I'm guessing.
Right.
Users
right.
were sent email warnings and given the chance to reactivate their accounts after uninstalling the ad blocking software. And in some rare cases where the problem persisted, Spotify would terminate the account. So a modded app.
Right. And that's what I guess I'm not quite understanding because I don't know. I wonder how many people listen to Spotify in the web browser.
Yeah.
Well, no, this would be a phone app probably.
Yeah. And it'll probably more than likely it'll be either a jailbroken iPhone. You probably couldn't do it. On a standard iPhone, and then on Android, you can always sideload any APKs.
Right, so. And I guess in that situation, I don't have a problem with them cracking down on people doing that, because you're going to, if that's what's going on and that's the people they're going after and they're banning their accounts, you're going out of your
really
way
impact.
to do something.
Right now, I just looked up Android Spotify no ads, and there's videos how to get Spotify Premium on Android with unlimited skips and no ads. There's all kinds of different. Here's a ad-free Spotify mod for Android under the Reddit's piracy area.
Yeah,
and so obviously a lot of people are like, "Hey, no ads." It's like I don't have to pay anything. So if you can skip all that stuff, now you're getting the same thing other people are paying for.
Right, and I'm all for 100% for banning those accounts. Because I've paid Spotify.
You heard that here, guys. Dave wants to ban you. You're probably listening to us right now on that hack APK on your Android.
Unless you're a Digital Soup fan, in which case, hey, keep doing what you're doing.
In which case, I say pony up your $9.99 a month or get the family plan for $14 a month and just pay for premium and you don't have to listen to ads or see ads anyways in the app.
Wait, how much?
It's like, well, you've got goofy pricing for you, but I think the family Spotify plan, you can get up to I forget what it is, 4 or 5 accounts. It's like $14 or $15 a month, and that'll give you 4 or 5 different people that can use it, you know, accounts under your one plan. Or you can get I pay $9.99 a month for my premium Spotify, and
it's
worth it. You don't, you know, all the unlimited skips, the playlist, anything you want to do, you can do it, and you don't have to listen to ads or any of
Wait a second. Did you say you have a .edu email now?
Me? No.
Oh, that was Adam.
Yeah.
Well, okay, you know the deal I got, right, Adam?
For Spotify?
Yeah, I have Spotify Premium, Hulu, and Showtime, the streaming stuff, and it's $3.99 a month because I'm a student.
Oh, it's a good deal.
It's a great deal.
Great deal.
And every day, Dave hates me for that deal.
I do.
And
it's always blocking the ads.
Yeah, I've got my band stick out.
Oh, which one? Metallica band stick? Oh, no. Band stick.
No, like spray on.
Like roll. The band deodorant.
Yeah, band deodorant roller. The old school 80s.
He gets done drinking a Tab. He puts his band on his armpits. And then.
Do they still sell Tab?
They do.
I haven't seen that in forever.
It's I think cray-cray. I might have drank it once or twice in my life. My grandma used to drink it.
That sounds like a conspiracy.
It does.
Did you know
my grandma drinking Tab?
Yep.
I'm a little lost.
I'm just going to tell you that the Pentagon spent $22 million to research sci-fi theories, according to a show note I just read.
Hey, you've said that before, dude. You can't be saying the same thing.
I'm sorry. Did you know the Pentagon spent $22 million to research sci-fi theories, according to the internet?
According to the internets. You always get it wrong.
Man, okay, internets. One more time. In a recent report, it's been made known that from 2007 to 2012, the government researched everything from traversable wormholes and stargates to invisibility cloaks and psychic teleportation. This is awesome.
It is. I wish they all existed, though, all these sci-fi things.
Would you like to know more?
Yes. Hey, now, since you've mentioned teleports and stuff, I think if they ever, I mean, they have teleported light from one place to another. So that's the closest we've got so far on teleporters.
I did it yesterday with a flashlight. You're welcome.
Oh, no, this is different. Now, listen, this cost millions of dollars. Anyways, just think about this. Think about how nobody could ever say they're late for work again, because you have a teleporter in your room, in your home, you step into it, and now you're at work 1 second later.
Problem with that, though, is the ethical argument again. I think we've talked about this, where are you going in between, and are you being destroyed when you enter the teleporter and then just copied?
You are a clone when you come out the other side, yes. Oh,
yeah, because this is kind of like the movie we reviewed, The Prestige.
Yeah, I think I'll just drive to work. It's only about a mile and a half.
Now, I will ship goods over that thing, though. That'd be awesome.
Oh, that just like the, they weren't teleporters, but the replicators on Star Trek. Oh, that would be awesome.
Oh, tea, Earl Grey, hot.
Yes.
Excuse me, order something better.
Yeah, why have I never heard like Worf walk up to go, double cheeseburger, bacon, extra fries.
You think Worf is eating
best Worf ever.
Double cheeseburgers yeah. with bacon?
Hey, everybody, I'm Worf.
I want a McDonald's.
Hey, I'm Worf. What's going on?
I want a McDonald's special.
I'm going to move out by the sea. I'm going to call it Worf's Worf.
Yeah, I'm not Michael Dorn. I'm sorry.
Michael Dorn. I can't do a Michael Dorn impersonation. Maybe we should get him on the show.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Dave, you should organize that.
Yeah.
Me?
The Dornmeister.
Well, Dave is the biggest Star Trek fan on this show. So
that's what I was
going to
say. It's true. I know of the character, but I couldn't quote him.
Yes. And for those of you that have not met Dave, he has, ever since the Next Generation came out, he has cosplayed Data. Yeah, successfully cosplayed Data his entire life.
Words are hard.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Adam knows what I'm talking about.
Yep.
I'm a
gray-skinned android.
Well, that could be true.
Who wants to be a real boy someday?
I'm a real man.
So on this article we were talking about, can we actually talk about this? What do you think is most likely that they'll actually be able to create or, you know, find research as they're doing this?
Well, I teased it a little bit there, but I actually think a replicator. I mean, we are on the very early stages of it, and that would be 3D printers. I mean, if they get better, I mean, they could replicate anything just from, now, food items, possibly not, but I'm talking about maybe it could make a metal knife. You know, it can make inanimate objects, not edible
If they
objects.
Can make burgers out of bleeding plants, I think they can reproduce food in a replicator.
Speaking of that, did I tell you that I am opening an Impossible Burger joint here in town.
Cool. Oh, have fun. Hey, I have a question.
Yes.
So all this stuff was a response to a Freedom of Information Act by the Federation. The Federation.
Of planets?
Of American scientists. And it's 38 research papers bankrolled by AATIP, which I don't remember what that stands for. Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program.
Or AATIP.
If these were class, and I'm looking at the attachment that they got from the government here. And a lot of the attachments are considered unclassified / for official use only. Now, do you think that means they flopped and didn't work?
Well,
if they're unclassified,
you can't prove any of this stuff, really. I mean, you'd have to
prove it. You'd have some awesome stuff on here.
Stuff that we couldn't even fathom now will be built in 50 years.
Well, obviously. But let me list a few of these things that sound awesome.
Oh, list them, please. I love lists.
Inertial electrostatic confinement fusion. You're welcome. Advanced nuclear propulsion for manned deep space missions. Yup, I'll have one of those.
Ooh, pulsed spore drive. How about a spore drive?
Pulsed high power microwave technology. Finally, my burrito can be done faster.
Oh, no, I think that would be more like a weapon, like a gun.
Here's one that's just called Space Access. I'm sure it's part of the Microsoft Office suite.
Okay, let me hold on. Pause right there on your list. Save your spot. What? I don't understand this one. Maybe I'm just not thinking right. For listeners, I'm gonna tell you a little behind the scenes.
Oh.
This is I'm recording back-to-back shows tonight here. So my brain is a little fried here. But number 11, anti-gravity for aerospace applications. Now, am I thinking about this wrong? Why would they be researching anti-gravity? Because in space, isn't there already no gravity?
But for aerospace, you're talking about on Earth.
Oh, we're talking just about like airplanes and...
Right? Am I an idiot? I don't
know. Well, anti-gravity is the opposite of gravity. So instead of pulling us towards the Earth, it's going to propel us into space. They will not need any type of booster rockets. Will just fling us into space.
It's going to be like in the movie Up when they just, you know, tie all the balloons.
Well, they use balloons.
Right, but we'll just basically have this device that's the equivalent of balloons and we'll just float off. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I think I understand it a little more.
Now, aerospace is referring like to the Earth's atmosphere and the surrounding space. I don't know how like deep space would be different, but I imagine it would be
which is
somewhat
really
applicable.
Strange because I always heard there was no air in space.
Okay, other items. Invisibility cloaking.
See,
yes, please.
I think this is that's one.
That's one they almost have already.
That's one will be the first one we see.
That's kind of scary.
Have you seen the cloth, Adam?
I've seen like some of those where people are trying to work on, you know, the passing the image through and everything.
Yeah, what the cloth is, it's made up of just thousands or hundreds of thousands of almost like little television screens. And what it's doing is on the other side is the cameras, and it's you hold this, you know, that you hold the sheet up, and it's filming the area behind you and projecting them onto those screens. Mm-hmm. So in essence, it is completely blocking you out of the scenery.
Yeah.
So military could make clothing like this.
Yeah, I think it would be cooler if you could just bend the light around you, but I'm not an expert.
Like a bullet?
Yep. Traversable wormholes, stargates, and negative energy. That one sounds interesting.
Yeah.
High-frequency gravitational wave communications.
Mm-hmm.
Role of superconductors in gravity research. Dave's anti-gravity for aerospace applications. Field effects on biological tissues.
Oh.
Positron aerospace propulsion. There are multiple propulsion methods here.
Yeah.
We want to traverse space, so we have to think of different ways. I mean, we cannot drive 55 in space and expect to get to Pluto before we die.
Well, I wonder how much of this, too, though, the propulsion stuff we're looking at it is for still within the atmosphere, but high level, you know, distance wise, like commercial travel to reduce on
jet lag.
Not jet lag, but like jet fuel, you know, those kinds of things, the pollution and stuff like that that happens. So I mean, it could be
well, they use so much energy to try to escape Earth's gravitational pull,
right?
You know, like the bulk of their payload is fuel.
Yep.
So you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because propulsion is one of the top things on here. There's advanced nuclear propulsion for deep space. There's advanced space propulsion based on vacuum and space-time metric engineering.
Right.
Positron aerospace propulsion, aneutronic fusion propulsion. I mean, that air breathing propulsion and power for aerospace applications, magnetohydrodynamics, hydrodynamics. I don't even know what I'm looking at. Negative mass propulsion. Mm-hmm. They're trying to figure out a way, trying to make the warp drive.
Basically, yeah.
Awesome.
That would be cool. Yeah. Can I point out something? In all these space shows that we've ever seen, this has never happened, and I've always wanted to see this. So your ship is in FTL. And all of a sudden, your inertia dampening field goes out just to see the entire crew just splattered on the back of the walls.
You want to see that?
What? Why has it never happened? Why has there never been a fail in the inertia dampening field?
Because Worf is on it.
But at least once, they could at least mention it. Well, in our early, hyperspace trials or whatever, the inertia dampening fields were failing, and we lost a lot of good crew members. They've never said that. It has. If we really were doing this in the future here, you know there's going to be trials and there's going to be deaths.
Well, yeah.
You know it.
So interesting stuff that when you think about all those things, $22 million is not a lot. I'm going to be honest.
No.
That's not a lot for that kind of research stuff.
I mean, but there's mansions that celebrities own that are selling and buying for that much or more.
What's cool, though, is that there's brains thinking about this stuff and how are we going to advance ourselves technologically. That's pretty awesome stuff. And to top it off, is the Nintendo Switch Mini coming out this year?
I don't know. Let's ask the Pentagon. They probably did some research on it.
Yeah, probably.
You know what? You guys are laughing about this, but this is actually a pretty dang sweet piece of machinery if it does come out this year. Now, Nintendo has not said anything positive about this, like, yes, it's coming out, etc. But there's been leaks to some companies that have, got leaks in the past and they've all come to fruition. Well, a smaller Switch that is all one unit without detachable paddles or game controllers, you should say.
Joy-Cons.
Paddles. This is Pong. Let's play some Pong, dude.
Holy moly.
But it has a little bit smaller screen, but it doesn't have a docking base or anything. It's basically, think of it as the Nintendo 3DS that can play Switch games, a completely portable system. I think it'll be awesome.
Interesting.
And it'll come in cheaper, probably, around the $120 to $150 price range.
Well, we were...
The 3DS has come out.
We were talking about...
What's that?
Oh, I was going to ask about the paddles.
The paddles? Go ahead, ask your question.
No, I just wanted to call out paddles.
Well, I don't have any paddles. I just have a band stick.
Band stick. No, I was going to say, Jason, you and I were talking about this. I don't know when it was. A few days ago.
A week ago, probably.
About a week ago, yeah. And I was telling you, if the price came in low enough, because the Switch, the only reason I would get the Switch would be playing it handheld. I don't need another system to hook up to a, television or a screen. I've got my computer and everything
set
up.
You need something when you're on the toilet. I get you, Dave.
Well, toilet, laying in bed at night before, go to sleep or, whatever it is. You're
on the train because we're on those a lot.
Yeah, I'm commuting through the subway a lot up here. And
Hibbing. The Hibbing International. Well, they do have trains that come through, but not passing trains.
No, and we've got an airport. But yeah, no, I mean, for things like that, a mobile gaming system with, modern current gen, would be fun. My biggest problem is I never got into the Game Boy. I had a Game Boy Advance for a while. Mm-hmm. But I never really, really, it was fun at times. I played it for a couple of years, but on and off, but I never got into it as much because the screens were so small.
Yes, but that's why you would love, I have the 2DS XL.
Yeah.
It beautiful large screens. I love it. Yeah, you would definitely dig this system. The 2DS, 3DS, it's a very powerful system. Mm-hmm. Not as powerful as a Switch, but it is, I would say, it falls in between the N64 and the GameCube. I mean, they're
right.
It's basically almost GameCube graphics, and that's awesome for a portable system.
Right, and if the performance is on par with what the Switch is doing now, and you know possibly even some slight improvements, who knows?
Well, with a smaller screen, it'd probably be able to run a little bit faster, less pixels to push.
Right, and so something like that, and not needing the ability to dock it and connect it to the TV and everything, I would maybe look at it if the price was at a you know reasonable spot. That's the problem with the Switch right now, because what is it, $300?
$299, yeah.
Yeah.
It's $1 cheaper than $300.
Yeah, but then you got to buy memory cards and everything
else.
Oh,
wait, I forgot about tax. Okay, it's $315.
Yeah. So, I mean, by the time you get done with all that, I just can't do it. I mean, if I'm going to spend that kind of money on a game system, I would look at a PS4, mm-hmm. you know, first, or possibly, you know, the newest Xbox. But if you can get in at, you know, sub-$200...
Well, Dave, we've talked about this. I know this isn't in our show notes here, but this news has been popping out a lot. So let's cover it here real fast. Dave, I've known Dave for quite a long time. Except for the Xbox original, Dave has been a really big fan of the PlayStation series. Rightfully so. It's a great series of consoles. Mm-hmm. Well, we were talking about this the other week too, Dave, and the PS5 is rumored... Hardcore rumors going on right now that it is going to be backwards compatible right. all the way back to the PS1.
Right.
Yes.
So, I mean, that is now you got a console with tens of thousands of titles
right.
at launch. So, Dave, would this be the next console you'd probably buy if you were to buy one?
Depending on the price, yeah. I mean, if it's backwards compatible, because there's so many good games right now on the... Well, let's face it, so many good games on the PS3 that I never got around to playing. Plus, the PS4 has a ton of titles I'd love to play, yeah. but just I can't justify buying a system right now.
And the 2-in-1, I mean, fantastic titles still on there.
Right. And so, I mean, if you were
able, I'd even buy one.
Yeah, I mean, I might think about it if it wasn't like $700 or something. You know, if it came in kind of like what a regular PS4 or whatever, you know, $300-$400, something like that, I probably would think about saving and buying
it. I think the PS4 came out at $500, though, Dave.
Right.
I think when it originally came out, so I wouldn't say it would be cheaper than that.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, whatever it's in. I mean, but that's the thing. If it's $600, $700, $800, no, I'm not buying it. There's no games worth that much money to me anymore.
That's an awful big paddle to swallow. You know, you see what I did there?
Well, I look at it, and it's like, you know, with that kind of money, there's a ton of other things I'd probably use much more and
well,
enjoy
yeah,
much
yeah. You
more.
You need to get your roof raked
well,
for
yeah.
$800.
Right. Yeah, let's not talk about that. It makes me depressed.
Well, hey. Adam, I thought of a perfect thing for Dave to do. He needs to grab himself a leaf blower and fill that bag full of salt and just fill his roof with salt right now and melt that snow off.
It's probably a good idea.
I know. I thought so too. And then Dave throat punched me through the phone.
Yeah, it won't turn
into when
a,
that happens.
A briny sludge just eating the shingles off. No.
Can marinate stuff in it.
Yeah. Hey, after I'm done, you know, using that leaf blower in shooting mode, apparently, to
blow
shoot salt,
mode.
Blow mode, I can then just start blowing some cucumbers up onto the roof and make pickles while they're up there.
Well, you got to blow some vinegar up there, too, then.
I could, yeah. Might as well spray that down on top of the salt.
Yeah.
Roof pickles, a northern Minnesota delicacy.
Fresh canned root pickles.
Root.
Root.
Got some roof pickles.
Yep. You guys want to go up and get some roof pickles? Hey, what time is it?
It's time for a geek off. Oh.
So.
We're so good.
Nobody we are.
Knows I hope you we keep that.
Nobody's going to hear it unless I throw it at the end.
I hope you keep that in there somewhere. What are we doing for the Geek Off?
All right. So for today's installment of the Geek Off, we're actually going to be doing Digital Soup Mad Libs.
What?
You got it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I want you guys to pick between bullfighting and Emmy acceptance speech.
Ooh, with Steve Buscemi? Oh, no, that wasn't an Emmy acceptance speech, but...
I don't know.
Deep faked.
Let's should we do the acceptance speech first?
Yeah, let's do it. It could be more fun.
All right, this one's a short
one. I don't want to kill a bull, so let's go with acceptance.
It's a short one. So I'm gonna need starting from The first person to say it, I'm going to type in an adjective.
Huge.
Adjective.
Stinky.
Adjective.
Sweaty.
Name of a female person.
Oh, boy.
That's not a female person.
Jennifer Lawrence.
I knew he was going to say it.
Name of a male person.
Steve Buscemi.
A noun.
Deep fake.
That's a verb.
Deep fake.
Okay. Occupation.
Actress.
Deep faker.
Actress. Really?
That's a boring one. Pick a new one.
All right. Okay. Another occupation.
Butthole spackler.
Part of the body.
Say it, Dave.
Pinky toe. I'm not saying what you want me to say.
Verb ending in ing.
I said so many. I was letting you do it some, Dave.
No, you go ahead. I'm just enjoying this one.
Flabbergasting.
That's not a thing. But I'm going to put it in there anyway. All right, here we go. Emmy acceptance speech. Thank you from the bottom of my pinky toe. I don't know what to say. I'm speechless. I truly didn't expect to win this deep fake. Certainly not with so many huge actors competing in the same category. First and foremost, my thanks to Jennifer Lawrence. You couldn't work with a better actress. And I'm sure I wouldn't be flabbergasting here tonight if it weren't for my stinky director.
Flabbergasting.
I must also thank Steve Buscemi, who wrote a sweaty script for me. Of course, none of this would be happening if it weren't for my agent, who convinced the network that I could play a 75-year-old retired butthole spackler.
I'm glad it's retired. 75-year-old retired butthole
spackler. That's all
spackler.
He knew. That's all he knew his whole life was spackling buttholes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
All right. We're going to do the bullfighting one because we need to have two of these. Mm-hmm. Give me an adjective, gentlemen.
Dave.
I'm thinking. My brain is slow. I apologize.
Slow.
Yeah, it works.
Another adjective.
Grumpy.
Another adjective. And yeah.
Miserable.
And one more.
Monstrous.
Happy. Oh, monstrous.
Monstrous. If I could type. Article of clothing.
Brassiere.
I knew that was coming.
Exclamation.
I've got
gargantuan. Exclamation. Never mind.
I've got so many popped into my head that
all right, give me the first one that popped to your head.
They're not appropriate.
Okay, PG-13 that thing.
Yeah, let me think. Exclamation.
Jankies.
Okay, that works.
Okay. Jinkies?
Jinkies.
Yeah, whatever Velma used to say. Okay. Yeah.
Geographical location.
Amazon.
I was thinking the Amazon too. Awesome.
Noun. Don't say Amazon Prime.
No, it'd just be Prime. I'm just kidding. Noun. Let's go with banana.
Part of the body.
Something that resembles a banana.
A finger?
Wow, you got some big fingers there, dude.
Oh, my. That size of finger.
What are you, Andre the Giant? Let's say earlobe.
It's better than leg finger.
Leg finger.
Plural noun.
Oh, I got to say it. It's a staple, isn't it?
No.
Bubes.
You guys are making me say things. And one more plural noun.
Nipples.
Oh boy.
Oh my gosh. Sorry, everybody. And I mean the listeners. Spanish word.
I'm drawing a blank on Spanish words. For some reason, food's just popping in my head.
Okay, so like taco?
Arriba.
Yeah, arriba. Yeah, do that one.
Okay, one more Spanish word.
Andale.
Okay, Speedy Gonzalez.
Andale.
Andale, andale.
I've learned all my Spanish from cartoons, Dora and Speedy Gonzalez.
Sad. Okay.
But true.
Bullfighting.
Wait, is that a Metallica song?
Yeah. Bullfighting?
No, sad, sad but true. One of my favorites. Anyways.
Bullfighting is a slow sport, which is very popular in Amazon.
The Amazon. Come on.
Yeah, a bullfighter is called a matador, and his equipment consists of a long, sharp banana called an arriba and a bright red brazier.
Okay, so I'm he waves his. It. Hold on.
He waves his.
No, hold on. I'm picturing the guy. He's out there in the middle of the ring. It's dusty all over, and he's got nothing on but a red brassiere and a giant.
I don't think Adam said he was wearing it. It was using it as like a.
Wasn't
red,
that it, wasn't it his costume?
His equipment.
His equipment. So what else are you using a red brassiere?
Well, let me finish the story.
Okay.
Dave's never seen a bullfight.
He waves his brassiere at the bull, which makes the bull grumpy. He hasn't had his juice.
Instead of the cape, it's the brassiere. Okay.
Oh, we should have said hangry.
The matador then goes through a series of miserable maneuvers to avoid getting caught in the bull's earlobe. That's pretty close to the horn. Yeah. If the matador kills the bull, the spectators yell "Andale!" and throw their boobs into the ring.
Ouch!
Yeah, no kidding. If the bull wins, they yell "Chinkies!" and call for another matador. Bullfighting is a very monstrous sport, but it will never be popular to America. Because Americans don't believe in cruelty to nipples.
Oh, I don't know. There's a lot of piercings going on.
Yeah, Jason's like, in my house we do.
I'm smacking mine right now.
Stop. We have to change our rating to explicit in iTunes. That was good.
Oh, man. That was good. Now, we've got to come up, once our schedule settled down here a little bit, this week, we've got to come up with our next bracket. I've got a few ideas. We'll bounce through those off air. But Mad Libs is always a good time.
Always. Yeah.
Can't go
it's
wrong.
It's always a good fallback. Yeah, good fallback. Yeah. Well, it might be that time, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
It what might time is be that? That time. It's time for a show close. So it's time to put the lid on the soup. But listeners, I want you to stick around afterwards. And so
soup
do Mike,
butt.
Too. What?
It's like when you get a good pork butt, throw it in the pot with some used chicken broth. Actually, it works.
Did
really
I say
well
soup butt?
You did. It's time to put the lid on the soup butt.
Oh,
put the lid on the soup butt.
Sorry.
We want you guys to stick around and hear our unsigned music spotlight, because this week we're bringing you a track called "She's a Babe" by Snatch the Snail. Snatch the Snail is a Charlotte, North Carolina-based experimental punk band that was formed in 2012, and to date, they've released 8 full-length albums and played dozens of shows around the East Coast. We're going to have a link to their page in our show notes, so be sure to check that out. And for all things Digital Soup, go over to digitalsouppodcast.com. You can listen and subscribe to us anywhere where you get your podcasts, and be sure to tell a friend about us. And from all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, to all of you, stay safe. Say hi to us on social media. Have a good week. We'll catch you next time.
Take care, guys.
Later, Microsoft Windows 1809.
Hello, Windows 7.
Hashtag sad. She's a babe.
legs dance as if they've got a chance. Cause
by the end of the 19th century, American machines were so good, the only thing that wasn't was the people.